Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Well, officially, for my family, the first day of school down here, my 12-year-old and my son says to me, the whole family went down today to do the drop-off, and my son says to me.
As you do every day.
No, we don't. No, we do not.
Okay.
And he said to me, what's it feel like to dad? Are you excited to have 8 months off?
Oh, that's not fair.
I said to him, and I answered honestly, I said, no, I'm not. No, I liked every moment with you this summer. It will go down as one of the best I've had with him, and I was excited about that. So he's off. Now, yesterday was a little bit of a different story because there are kids that go. Josh's kid went to school yesterday, normal,
yes.
Monday.
Yep. Yeah. Great My report kids, from both of them about first day of middle school.
My kid's school does orientation for new students on the Monday, and then they go to school on Tuesday. And so he's in his device, and he's going back and forth with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly from the back seat of the car, and by the way, the kids aren't the only ones that are anxious about the first day of school. Parents are just as bad. Teachers are, everybody. There is a false positivity that exists that's like, hey, welcome back, when in fact it's probably like, oh God.
Well, also there's unknown. I mean, if you're a teacher, you know, after a month you get to know your students and you have a routine. This is scary because you're jumping in with a billion days in a row of you have no idea what awaits you.
And the best thing I think for teachers, although the idea of teaching, of the main perk of teaching being summers off, does not exist for a tremendous amount of teachers because they teach in the summer and they do summer stuff because
they should do what my uncle Bruce had it all figured out. My uncle Dave too is in the summertime. They'd move to the beach and bartend.
Okay. All right. Well, so, yeah, it's yeah,
so
perhaps
ask
that
all
works.
The teachers to do that.
But every teacher's doing something.
Yeah.
Side hustle. Or something.
So yesterday,
Carrie and her feet pictures. Everyone has a hustle.
I hear from the back seat of the car, what's he doing there? And I don't know. And then he gets off the phone with his friend who is a new student and is there for orientation and says, Dad, all my friends are at school. I said, well, you're not a new student. You don't have to. Dad, they're all there. And everybody has experienced this with every school around the world. It's communication that is not quite pinpoint accurate, right?
Okay,
it's not spot on. Right. I am 99.9% sure, as is my wife.
But there's that point.
There is no requirement for him to be there because they have made it very clear that the kids that need to go to orientation are kids that are going into either elementary, middle, or upper high school, or kids that are coming into the school for the first time, whatever the grade.
May I ask a clarification question?
Yes,
did they say those are the ones that are required? But did they make mention that it's optional for other students to come?
That was not. There
it was
nothing,
never mentioned.
Nothing about optional.
Okay, good.
But we go in, and this is where, if I'm dealing with an insurance company, if I'm dealing with anything at the government, dealing with an accountant, dealing with financial matters, this is where my anxiety start. No matter how, there's not enough medication in the world to control it, and I'm like, And my tone. This is exactly. And Rob's heard this tone. Josh has heard this tone. This is me driving along. You got to pull the microphone away. I'm in the car with Michael in the back. And I go, well, Michael, you better get your mother on the phone.
Oh dear.
Blame someone else.
And we get Carla on the phone. Well, it's not necessarily blaming validating.
That's her responsibility.
It's validating the communication that I read. We get the same communication, which also can be a problem.
Mike, you're vetting your sources. is what you're doing. That's all.
That's it.
And you already mentioned he is not starting middle school. He started middle school last year.
Back out and come back in, will you please, with your click clock pity whack tack tack.
Everybody have a great day. And
see you later, Rob. We'll see you in a minute. Thank you.
So Michael is going into seventh grade?
Sixth grade.
But middle school for him started in fifth grade?
Yes, they start. Okay. It's an acclimation process.
Academy
that
type
do.
Thing. Okay.
So they do that, and he's mentioning the kids that are there. And I'm ranting to a degree going, well, of course he's there. Of course he's there. He's going to be the kid because every school has that kid, you know, that is always going to be going that extra mile, you know.
Was there any conversation about the other kids who were missing?
No.
More comparables?
Because that's the, you know, and that's where the panic of the 12-year-old comes in because I'm trying to get that information out of him, out of him. And, you know, when you really think about it, this is where the entire I've seen so many of these learn to live life one day at a time, learn to relax. And you get all that feedback, Josh, where, you know, you just it's not, you know, this isn't anything that's going to matter. This fits squarely into that category. It's not the end of the world if there happens to be an orientation he has to be at. He's going to school the next day. This is stressful ramping up that is not really necessary, but it doesn't preclude us from ramping up anyway. And that's the thing that's funny about this, that we're going on. And I am going on with my kid in the back seat. Once we get my wife on the line, I'm going into a full rant, and I have directed my ire at this particular kid. I said, well, he's always there.
Well, that's
he's
what
always there. You know, and
you've turned it to attack the other kid.
For absolutely no reason.
Michael shouldn't have FOMO because that kid's wrong. You're the one in the correct.
Exactly. And so I think this continued all the way. Oh, my instructions to my wife. Now I remember what it was. I said, well, call the school. And I said, and call the school now. And so this is about noontime or maybe like 11:30. There you are. About 11 or 11:30.
Okay.
And she gets back. She goes away, calls me again, says, I called four times and I didn't get an answer. I said, yeah. Why would they have an answer on the Monday before school starts by not having anybody answering phones in the office?
Well, secretaries don't have to come to orientation.
Maybe it's a new secretary and she requires orientation.
I have no idea, and I'm not sure you're supposed to say secretary either nowadays. But
are you allowed
I don't
to
know.
Say orientation?
You know what? Who knows?
I don't know.
All I know is with all of this going on.
Yes.
Because I have that same FOMO. I have it. I have it when it comes to academics because I've always messed things up. I've done it on this show. Mm-hmm. You guys have experienced me doing it on this show where you'll be there for some sort of business call and I will not be there. Mm-hmm. And I still get that FOMO when that happens. And, you know, the last one. Made it to the last one, right? I did well at the last one.
You
I was
did
very
great.
Happy.
Yeah.
Oh, business call, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was very excited.
The call before that, no.
No, the call before that, and I still get a little FOMO when that happens. So I don't know what to do. There's no resolution here. And by the way, and that's when Carla lays this very salient point on me mm-hmm. where she says, orientation was 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. And I suddenly go, ding. Where's my ding?
Oh, I'll so it wasn't it like a full day of school.
No.
The kids were just there for an hour.
And I said to myself, that's right. And we calm down and it just goes away. It is what it is. He will go to school today and find out what the dilly was. And then perhaps 2 hours later, he's enjoying his last, hours of F-offery at the house. And he goes, oh, Dad, by the way, I said, yeah, those kids, my friends, yes, that were at the school, yes, they had brothers and sisters that were going to the next level.
Oh, so they were tangential to the orientation.
They weren't there for themselves.
Right.
And, you know, that, of course, is the moment that I said, Carla, please get the...
sunflower seeds!
There it is. So, see? Used it right away. No waiting. Shoehorn that into the show, Rob. That's what
I love
I did.
It. I love to hear it.
It was, and today could not have gone smoother. Today could not have gone
But yesterday,
smoother.
The resolution was a perfect sitcom resolution.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
when he said it was
wop,
their sibling,
wop, wop.
You should have looked to the camera and a freeze and then show me that smile again. Mm-hmm. They go to the theme song. It was a perfect setup.
But now it's time for revenge.
And then
you need the other parents to panic.
Yeah.
Maybe a phone call Saturday morning from Michael. Hey, why aren't you at school?
Why aren't you at school? Oh, God, you could get a household into an absolute tizzy.
Exactly.
Oh, you know what? One of the greatest practical jokes I ever did was when we had the supper club, before the supper club was ruined by divorce, we had four couples that would meet on a monthly basis, and we alternated where we'd meet at the homes. And this was when Julia was playing volleyball, and we were on the team with the daughter of one of the other couples. And so we're just sitting there watching it. And I said, you know what would drive Haiti crazy is let's send her a text and make her think that tonight's her night for the supper club. So I texted, is there anything we can bring tonight? And then like 4 minutes later, Kristen, who was by me at the volleyball game, texted, we're going to be about 10 minutes late tonight. Is that okay? And by this time, as we found out in retrospect, Haiti is literally running around the house yelling at her husband to get things cleaned up.
Is she upset that she was named after a country that's had its challenges in the Western Hemisphere?
Different spelling, you see.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, is she a little concerned she was named after hell?
No, different spelling.
Okay. It's an interesting name. You just don't hear it very much. Haiti.
Yeah, I think it's Portuguese.
Oh, okay. All right. Portuguese but, hell?
Just Portuguese. She was actually descended from pygmies, it turned out, but that was a long time ago.
Pygmies.
Yeah. She did like feel,
that feels politically incorrect.
All right. She had an interesting heritage, let's say.
You know, of all the people that would get in trouble with PC, I think you might lead the pack because you kind of sequester yourself. You love to live in, you know, anywhere after the 40s. And then I think I might not, being the elder statesman here, Rob, I think you might do worse than I did.
I think it would be pretty close.
You think it would be close?
Yeah, yeah.
No, but I'm very acutely aware of it because I kind of run this thing.
You've got a 12-year advantage of old on me.
Yeah, but you live in the past more than I do? And when I say live in the past, it's not past accomplishments. It's like
not.
Your idyllic time frame is yesteryear.
Yeah.
He's got the right age kids to call him out on stuff and correct him.
Oh, Mike, the term that I use can be sensitive and potentially offensive. While it historically referred to people of shorter stature.
Okay. Right, we get it. I don't think you need to go into any more detail on that.
I withdraw the remark, citing ignorance, which, I've lived all my life.
And I apologize for saying secretary. They are office managers.
Exactly.
Mrs. O'Mara just brought me a liquid IV.
Oh, she's a good lady. And very tall.
Rainbow sherbet?
Beef burgundy?
Cabernet Sauvignon.
No. Anyway, it tastes like lettuce.
But the only other thing, I'm keeping my voice down a little bit.
Good.
Is that, how do I put this? At drop-off this morning, a teacher who is from the previous grade, but it's still middle school, right?
Right.
How do I put this delicately? It would be apparent that... that this particular individual probably enjoyed a rather vigorous fitness regimen in the summertime. That's how I want to put it. And
she had a good summer. is what you're saying.
I kept that to myself.
Good. And that's why, Mike, you are the standard bearer of political correctness for the show.
Amen.
Here I am spouting off like it's 1890, and here you are protecting the feelings of all.
Well, I'm 66 years old. If I say anything overt, it'll be, at best lecherous, You know,
No one wants that.
No, I just
see if
wanted
you make it through the rest of the week of drop offs.
I just wanted to
or shows.
Know. Well, there. Look, I think dads around the world that drop off kids at schools,
yeah,
probably experience the same thing. If sure. you're slogging into school before you have to slay the dragon,
mm-hmm.
you know. You love watching your little one go into school, and you're proud of him, and you're what else is there really during that process except the eyes feasting on whatever the sights are.
And you know, Mike, it's really not that. What it is
no
you
way
are
to make this sound,
no, you are what any person of like a military training. You have to be aware of your surroundings. Yeah. Otherwise, it's not safe for you, and it's not safe for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you're making mental images of all the people at the school.
And I would say in 3 years, let Carla handle drop-off.
Well, why? Why would that be?
Because you'll be going to high school.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get confused between the teachers and the students.
You know.
Also, let Carla handle drop-off at school.
Hold on, Rob. I would say that... I'd really like to say by that point, I'll be even older than I am now.
Right.
And how dare you? But I can't because I know too many guys in that age group.
Yeah.
And it never changes. I think I'm old enough to know that fact. Now, it never, the eye for those type of situations never really changes in my opinion.
Yeah. My father used to do drop off for me at the shopping mall when I was 26.
Your father is a different entity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't use the word lecherous about him, though.
But he is an entity where that's all he does.
Yeah.
Is like he's, I mean, I hope that for Kathy's sake,
yeah.
Your stepmom,
yeah.
I just hope that he's maintained his behavior. I think he's settled down to a degree, but it doesn't change his persona online.
No, it lives on.
You know, yay for Mindy.
Yeah.
And anybody that's got T's out there, he will be first in line. I've never seen anybody do it like that.
Well,
trailblazer of women on, that. But you were going to say, Josh, sorry about
that.
Well,
I was going to, very similar to that, at some point, your eyes continue, but your mouth gets looser, where you suddenly hit the age where you can say anything.
So you're saying that if I say had a 6-year-old, by the time I had that 6-year-old going to high school, I'd be dropping the kid off and then rolling down the window and going, "She's got a great ass."
You see, and that's not allowed. That's not allowed on campus, Mike.
No, I think it's important to point out that I'm referring to educators and not students. All right. And by the way, there was a dude in Fort Myers, Florida on the news this morning that was an offender who was caught on lanai, not doing anything sordid, but just wandering on someone's lanai. And oh my God, if I could get a picture of this guy, I'll try to send it to Josh before the show's over.
All right.
This is the creepiest of creepies that I've ever seen. And by the way, you know, a buddy of mine a long time ago, a golf pro, said, "Do you know how many outstanding warrants there are in Lee County?"
Well, to me, they're all outstanding. Really fine.
I will tell you that it really, really is a little disconcerting to be in this state, because I think we have a lot of creep monsters.
Yeah, it's your choice, though. You chose to go down there.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, why do you say it with that tone?
Mike, I wonder.
You're all ramped up today, so why are you giving me a hard time about that? What's going on? Give me your deep feelings.
I'm not all ramped up, and I've been working very hard not to interrupt. I'll try to do better.
Mm-hmm.
But when you
don't tell me that, tell Josh that.
Josh,
we're good.
I'm sorry. Josh is my friend, and so is his brother. We're both friends. The thing about Florida, I was watching on the news this morning, Mike.
Yes.
About the brewing hurricane, Aaron.
Yeah.
And I think, wow, I hope that doesn't affect Mike. Mm-hmm. And then I hear about the oppressive heat, And then I hear about the outstanding warrants. Yeah. And then I hear about the political sort of climate that you're living in down there.
The hunger strike at Alligator Alcatraz.
Nothing has happened in the recent. I mean, it's been like this for a while. Mm-hmm. And this is where you choose to live. And I wonder sometimes. I know you like the golf and the weather when it's not oppressive. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It doesn't seem like the best fit for you. That's
all.
And
the taxes.
The taxes. Taxes, I thought, were a benefit, though.
They
for
are.
Older
yeah,
people.
That is a benefit.
Yeah, that yeah. is a, you know, I'm just putting in right now in the search engine, Fort Myers predator caught on Lanai.
Okay.
All right, so we'll see.
How do you spell Lanai? Is it
L-A-N-A-I.
Okay, it's like Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, and that's why, Mike, when I say you choose to live there, sometimes I wonder what it is deep in the base of your mind that makes you want to stay there, a state that drives you crazy. But then you know what? You didn't like Virginia either.
No. No, I didn't. To be honest with you, I probably have discomfort levels for everywhere.
All the 50?
I think if you really, if you want to,
if
you could spend a week, say, giving me 7 different locations.
Yes.
Internationally.
Okay.
To call home.
Okay.
I might find one. I just have never been, you know, D.C. I was never a fit.
But that's why, I think that's why some of the richest people live 6 months here, 6 months in another place.
Oh, yeah, and have houses everywhere.
Because you're never happy.
Because they can. I get it.
What if, Mike, what if you lived in Chico?
You never know. Right? You never know. Northern California might be okay. I mean, my old radio partner moved out there.
Mm-hmm.
I would not think that would be a fit for me.
All right.
Was never particularly fond of that area. And I'm, when I say the north of Sacramento area, you know, I think the Bay Area, if you have the Bucks, would be absolutely good. If I could live on the Monterey Peninsula, my God, wouldn't that be special? But even if I had the money, living around moneyed people, even if I had money, would not be something that would appeal to me. I don't like entitled rich people. They're not fun to be around.
Katie, to promise not to bother you, could you do Savannah?
No, because I actually thought about living in Savannah at one point, but because of the bugs. I don't like the bugs in Savannah.
Okay.
Maine, my family's up in Maine. I like spending time up there occasionally, but it's not a priority, and I don't see myself spending, you know, making that a permanent residence.
What about in an alternate reality where everything in Maine up in Hancock Point is the same, except none of your family are there?
Stop it. Stop it. You're getting me in trouble with
that. I'm not.
Would you like to know an idyllic vision I have that just I could see my picture if you will.
I will.
A lovely country home out on a decent plot of land in the country of Ireland. And you know, with beautiful green fields that don't belong to me because I'm not maintaining them. But it's like I'm surrounded by lovely plots of land.
That, maybe that you're surrounded by like a peat bog. That doesn't require any maintenance at all.
A peat bog?
Yeah. And they're green because of all the stuff that grows around it. But, you know, it wouldn't be like.
I don't know what that is.
I think
it's like a swamp. Like,
isn't that where they find like woolly mammoths and stuff like that?
Mike, if you found a woolly mammoth,
don't they find
great
people in these bogs that have been preserved?
I think so, yes.
In the bog?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mummies.
Yeah.
But see, if the reality of it was to kick in, I would feel like, you know, I'm an American living in another country. I don't know if that would work for me. I just don't think that would work
You'd
for
be
me.
An expat, Mike.
Yeah. How about a RV? And every time you're upset with the town, you just pick up and drive away.
We've tried that.
Are you aware of, I'm sure on your feed, you've seen these remarkable capsule houses they have now? Have you seen those?
Yeah, they're impressive.
Now, are you being sarcastic with me
now? I want a tiny home.
I would love to live like that. Like in some place where you just get a reasonably priced plot of land and then you throw your little $70,000 capsule house on there with all the amenities. Have you seen them, Rob?
Yeah, I bet you could buy one.
Have you seen them?
I've seen houses like you describe. Yeah,
okay,
they're like
just
you
checking.
Know, I think they wouldn't have it in stock, but I bet you could order something like that from Costco.
You can order it from Amazon.
Or if you want to save some money, order it from Temu.
I Do you think he's seen them? Do you think he's even seen what we're talking about?
They're like self-contained homes that are delivered in one piece.
They appear to be very popular in Asia. That's right. Where mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of these things. And then there are the tiny homes that there's a channel that I see.
Yeah, I don't like them.
That I'm not a big fan of those either.
No.
But,
do you think it comes because we're rather big people?
No, I think that it's I think anybody would be, there would be a level of discomfort there. Now, and then there are the log homes. There are the Amish log homes that are teeny tiny. No, they're not tiny. They're just
not.
Reasonable, and they bring the whole thing. Now, they're like manufactured homes, exactly what they are. Right. And they put them on a plot of land.
Prefabs.
Prefabs, yes. Yeah.
Now, you joke about Temu, but I just searched capsule home.
Oh, no.
And it came up on AliExpress, which is basically Temu.
How much?
Would you like a 40 foot? Let's say, or do you want a 20 foot?
I want a 40 foot.
$1,694, it says.
Wow.
Look.
Plus shipping.
Not?
Plus
shipping. Shipping, $900 shipping.
Everybody down here right now in our shipping, everybody down here in our area, everybody wants to get $500,000 for their house. Everybody.
Yes.
Okay. And it doesn't matter what the house is, that's what they want. Now, the big ones, they want more, but everybody, no matter what it is, thinks that's what their house is
worth. So the starting baseline is 500 grand.
Yeah. Are there exceptions? Of course, there are exceptions. But I'm talking, by and large, it's like every day I'll say to my wife, hey, look at this. They want 485 grand for that. Can you? But what is wrong with people? And I think you've got the children of the greatest generation that are so filled with greed that they can't let it go. And then you get the price cut. There's nothing like a price cut where somebody is selling a house for almost $500,000, and they I'm not kidding you. They will say price cut. And the price cut is $5,000.
Yeah,
well, thanks so much.
Well, Mike, if that's...
That'll move the meter for me.
One
maybe, greedy
maybe,
F.
Maybe you were close. Maybe you were close to being able to afford it.
No.
And that brought your mortgage down to
$1.80. It's so... when I see something... When I see a price cut for a house like that that's under $10,000, where somebody's saying they're... That, to me, shows me what kind of person I'm dealing with. That's somebody that's like, oh, I can't do it.
Yeah, you're not going to give them your business.
I can't do it. I'm still, Josh, I'm still searching for the Fort Myers Predator caught on the lanai.
I couldn't find him either.
Yeah, it's on one of the newscasts down here. Maybe I'll get lucky
Do you think that the entitled generation is just sort of... They've misinterpreted what was at one time the American dream, which is grow up, marry, buy a home, pay for the home for 30 years, and then you've got the home, and you own it. It's yours. And then if you need money when you're older...
You're making them too, like, back in the Waltons.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think it's based on that?
Let me explain this generation.
All right.
This generation that I am a part of... if you look at the timing of it, and there are people that talk about this much more eloquently than I do, you talk about the timing of it. We came up in a time where we were pretty much a stone cold lock to do better than our parents, and not have the outside of some of the older people in the boomer generation that got nicked by the Vietnam War, most of us did not have the burden of fighting in a major conflict. And then the economic prosperity, education was just beginning to get out of reach.
Right.
And so we got through that okay, too. And then economic opportunity was there for us. So what you're dealing with is you're dealing with a generation of people where it's kind of hard to say no to them because everything was there. Everything. I don't want to say it was easy because that discounts anybody that's doing hard work. But people just... The obstacles were not there that they are for the current generation today.
I hear you.
Or the people that came before them, the children of the Depression.
Right.
And so you get this this idea that they are owed that. And so when you see somebody that's taking $2,500 off a $600,000 house, I really want to just go to an open house and go, well, F you.
Is this that guy that's listing that house?
There he is.
Hey, John Kelly.
Soroka with the win on Tuesday. Mr. Soroka, let me tell you something about myself. Let me tell you a little something about myself on this show. This is why this type of thing, that makes me, leave it up for a while,
maybe to the next segment.
Pantless Predator. I missed that very significant part of the story.
Do you think that face, is he happy? Is he enthusiastic? Because there's definitely emotion there for a mugshot. What's his deal?
How about this one? How about I don't care? That's a mugshot. It's just not usual. That's agitated. I would describe that face as agitated. Can you imagine, if I can be serious for a second?
Yeah.
And nice that he's an Irishman. The fear of any homeowner that would see that on their lanai without pants. And he's lucky, probably, you know, down here. Another thing about Florida, lucky he didn't get some buckshot in his ass.
Would you like to see if we can play the news story?
Yes, let's go ahead. Let's do that. All right, here we go.
All right, let's see.
This is my local feed of news that I have.
Yeah, it won't let me download the video, so we're going to try to play it off the website.
Okay, we'll try to do that. This is the NBC affiliate.
Open their doors to an unwanted
look at her.
I know her. I know Kelly. Met her.
This guy, take a look. This guy walked onto their lanai with his pants down. Turns out this is a registered sex offender. Gulf Coast News reporter Edward Franco is in the Cape talking with neighbors who spotted the guy on Northwest First Place.
Sure.
Police say the man was walking around this neighborhood with his pants down. Someone called 911, and I spoke to a neighbor who says the man looked injured and was asking for help.
Can you pause it for a sec?
Bang on the front door.
Was that reporter at the orientation at your kid's school?
Play it again, Shecky.
Right. And pounding on the front door.
Take a look at this photo. Homeowners say they caught this pantless man on their doorbell camera right before he started banging on the door.
Good Lord.
Happened along Northwest First Place off of Northwest 19th Terrace.
First and 19th,
police say the same man went inside a lanai and a family screamed at
him
to get out before calling 911.
It was threatening the way he approached the house. His state of mind was threatening. I immediately asked him to walk away from the house.
There's the rest of the house number.
I asked him why.
All right,
Small town news to give the address.
It is.
But man, oh man, Ashevitz, that is just, I mean, I would be out of my mind scared of that if you saw that.
And
nut.
Also just bad coverage because they don't describe the penis at all.
Is he ramped up today or what? Did he? I mean, my God, what is wrong with you today?
There's nothing wrong with me.
Go ahead.
He wants to be politically correct. He's trying to point out what the news
is. I think it's like an imbalance in the meds some days when he comes. I like it. Don't get me wrong, because he kind of flies off the, and then there'll be, you know, I don't think Rob ever has a day where he just sits there with his shoulders slumped.
You see, and that's why you say I'm all keyed up. I'm just the way I am. I'm just the
way
I'm more.
I think maybe just a notch up, a little tweak up, you know.
But
what did you have? What's your beverage today? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking mostly water with a little light lemonade in it, and I'll never buy light lemonade again because it tastes like crap.
That's really kind of creeping back. But I mean, are you doing diet stuff now that you're not doing
I'm not having any soda. What more do you want me to give up, Mike?
Why are you directing it at me? Why are you directing it at me?
Because you got your way with me quitting soda.
That's not my way. That's
your
doctor.
You talk about it all the time. And my doctor said, don't do it. And I said, you know what? This will make Mike happy. But now, if you're going to start ringing the lemonade bell.
Slow down. Wait, what did the doctor say?
Yeah, I mean, he's all over the place.
Doctor said, watch your sugar, so I stopped drinking the sodas, okay?
No, the doctor said you shouldn't drink soda. Let's make it clear. Don't blame it on me.
But what did you say for months before my doctor said it, though?
The accurate assessment that sugary sodas are the quickest way for you to damage your health with sugar because you're getting liquefied sugar that goes into your system. And
ultimately,
you know,
I did. I quit.
And you've had health issues before, so you're probably the last person that should be drinking a sugary soda. That's what I said.
Haven't had one since
Coke Zero. Isn't that zero sugar?
Yeah, but I hate the way they taste, and there's so many chemicals.
It tastes horrible.
There's so many chemicals in diet soda, I'd rather go without than drink diet soda.
But you're accusing me like I've done something bad.
I was trying to nip it nip it in the bud, because when you said putting some lemonade in your water is getting back, no, it's just my, it's my methadone. Give me something.
Well, no, I think that you, there are people that would say diet soda is just as bad, and I'm certainly guilty of that.
Right.
And as much, and I get that as well. But yeah, you have to have something.
Yeah.
You have to have something.
You, thank you.
You know, and as far as what is your, as far as consumption, what right. you're eating, what you're drinking, is there a go-to now that maybe is healthier, that that really helps you, that you really look forward to? Because everybody has to have something to.
No, I really don't have a thing that I look forward to.
I'd recommend chili dogs.
I've had them, and they're good at the time, but you all know right. what? It's, I'm not going to build a life on it.
I give up. Mike, I give up. I'm
trying. You give up. I give mm-hmm. up. I swear. I got no, nothing here.
That's
I
wish up.
You. That's given up. I've kept my pants. Oh, Chris Arnold, thank you for your donation. Appreciate it very much.
Oh, you got more show coming up, but first I want to. This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack sponsor. We're excited to announce they've teamed up with Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, on a new special edition product, a salted caramel chip protein bar. IQ Bar's plant protein bars are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit. For example, my salted caramel chip IQ Bar has 12 grams of protein and only a gram of sugar, plus nutrients like Lion's Mane Adaptogen. And 10% of sales go to Chef Keller's nonprofit program, Mentor, supporting the next generation of aspiring U.S. chefs. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are fueling their busy lifestyles with IQ bars and all of their amazing products. I'm in love. When products are co-created by a Michelin star chef, they taste incredible. But what's even more important is how they make you feel. When I start my day with an IQ bar, I feel amazing. Right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text TMOS to 64,000. That's TMOS to 64,000. TMOS to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. IQ Bar, the best. I tell you about Pesty. Do you want to make your flies fly away? Want to make your fleas flee? Do you want to make your praying mantises say amen? If you've got bugs, you need Pesty. Pesty is do-it-yourself pest control. Their kit makes it so easy. It only takes a few minutes to apply. Other pest control companies charge over $800 per year. But with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment with a customized plan based on your location, your bugs, and your climate. The kit includes a reusable electronic sprayer, mixing bag, pesticide, gloves, and instructions. Follow these instructions and you can complete your application around your house in less than 10 minutes. Our boy up in the upper right-hand corner did it in 8 minutes, people.
Eight minutes, that's all.
Pesty gets rid of over 100 types of bugs, plus Pesty is kid and pet friendly. The pesticides they ship have been used in hospitals and schools all over the country. That means it kills ants, but your uncles stay alive.
You see?
He was even ramped up when he did the commercial. I swear to God.
I don't understand ramped up. By ramped up, do you mean hilarious?
I mean, yeah, right. Best of all, Pesty offers a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. Seriously, no questions asked. Pesty is the best. Now is the time to protect your home from bugs with Pesty. Go to Pesty.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off your order. That's Pesty.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off, people.
Oh, my God. You know what, Mike? I have to apologize right now. Because what happened is when I reset myself, I didn't Bluetooth my sound effects. And so,
moving right along.
I'll send you that audio to add to your soundboard as well.
The rumors were true. Taylor Swift is the very special guest for Travis and Jason Kelce's New Heights podcast.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Swiftie started buzzing about Taylor being on for a bunch of different reasons. Now, has this podcast happened yet?
I think comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow. It does. Mm-hmm. There was a silhouette that looked like Taylor. Well, she's going to be on the show. They confirmed it.
Yeah.
They're not sure what it's going to be, whether she's going to promote the tour, an album.
I actually have a clip, a teaser clip, that doesn't make it much clearer, but it will help a little bit. And I also have a problem with it.
Show you something.
Okay. What do we got?
We got
a briefcase.
Yep.
Mint green with TS on it.
Yep.
What's in it?
This is my brand new album, The Life of a Showgirl.
TS-12! Yeah.
It's not a briefcase. It's a vintage LP carrying case.
He's a football player.
Well, he's an idiot then.
He's not an idiot.
You know, it's just not his world. I didn't know what it was.
Jason is that guy. I would, if he had been a Giant, my life would have been better. That is one of the greatest linemen. Absolutely, he is totally the better Kelsey, and I'm a fan of his wife too. So don't be dissing on the Jason Kelsey. The couple. Look, the bottom line with the whole thing with Travis and Taylor. There's a burn factor. There is. There's a burn factor on that. And I'll tell you, football fans, the whole Kansas City thing, the whole Taylor Swift thing, we are up to here with it. Yeah. Not that I take anything away from her. Right. I think she's an amazing artist. I think she really has probably one of the greatest live shows in the history of music. She really does. She's that energetic a performer. But the whole love affair between these two, and now we're going on the podcast.
And how many football seasons does it have to be pressed on us?
Yeah. I mean, really, just to, you know, enough.
As
and
long
by the
as
way,
it keeps working for them, because they are still in the, they're at the top of the list.
Let me throw this in. Let me throw this in. I look forward to, you know, Giants games. He's probably not going to start Jackson Dart, but when he does start, a lot of people in Giants land have said they really look forward to exclusive coverage of his mom on the sidelines.
Oh, and just wait till he plays the Chiefs and have his mom and Taylor together.
Oh, yeah. Won't that be fun?
Hey, I'd like to see them both in the same box.
Very exciting.
Yes.
Very, very exciting. Mm. We move along right now and say, happy National Middle Child Day. A recent poll found a third of us are a middle child, or at least somewhere in the middle. 30% are the oldest, 32% in the middle, 26% the youngest, and 12% are an only child. Obviously, all those siblings don't always get along, and a new poll found 1 in 4 people are estranged from at least one brother or sister. Does that say 1 in 4? Wow, that's pretty significant.
That's high, yeah.
Siblings are the family member we are most likely to say we've cut ties with, but it's partly because some of us have lots of them. If you got 6 siblings, there's a decent chance there's 1 or 2 you don't like. I am not estranged from my sister, but I was tortured as a small kid by her, you know, where she didn't let me in the house when I pooped in my pants.
Yeah, and, but you kept coming back. That's an unhealthy relationship.
No, Kathy reached out not 3-4 days ago, and we have a good relationship when we get together. They've been to my house. I go to their house. We've traveled together. Everything's fine on that.
How long since she phoned?
A couple of days ago.
When she phoned, did she point out your faults?
No, she did not. But
then that's
you.
Things Wait, are getting I, better.
Do you get living vicariously through my family situations? Does that you've always been quite the nitpicker when it comes to my sister?
He doesn't have a sibling.
I don't.
Is that because you don't have one? Because you were
got
an only
I got
unwanted
a few steps,
child?
But that's it. I was just a mistake. That's all I got. The steps were on purpose, though, which is nice. To have children that you know. Well, they're
now,
not
the record
children.
Setter with multiples. Are you the middle child, Josh?
No, I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
And the best.
All right.
And we're all close.
24% of siblings are estranged from one of them. Parents are next at 16%. Here are the top 5 reasons we've cut ties with a brother or sister.
Hmm.
Okay, this is interesting. Well, yes, of course. This is pretty overly simple. Personality conflicts. Yeah, that might have something to do with it. Lies or betrayal. Oh, that is number 2.
Yeah.
Manipulative behavior.
Don't look at me.
Just sounds like personality traits.
Having siblings. conflict with other family members.
Oh, like something in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, you break off into two mm-hmm. rival groups. Number five, conflicting values or lifestyles.
I can see that.
Any of that in your family, Josh, where some people maybe are enlightened and some people aren't?
No, we're very close, but we do have some fun political discussions.
I bet. Who do you talk the most with about
that? Who is the biggest lib in your family?
Probably my brother.
Your brother? The one that Rob considers a friend as well?
Yes. Yeah.
He's not a Trumper?
He's not, but he's also the type where he'll argue both sides, so sometimes it's hard to know what he really believes.
Oh, that would be a contrarian. He likes to argue. Yes. I got that, even with my brief experience with him. And by the way, is he would he have any interest in coming back on the show? Because I felt there was a little, tension the last time he was on.
Oh, we can get him back anytime you'd like.
Good. Okay. I wanted to make sure
try to keep him off.
What's that?
Try to keep him off. He loves
Rob,
it.
Do you get the impression he might be a contrarian when you speak with him?
I have felt I've met him in person. I've talked to him on the show. I think what he does is he just might be a little bit of a scab picker, probably for his own happiness.
Especially with Josh, right? The
older
brother.
Yeah. I mean, they are as competitive as any two you could find.
Okay.
And I think that's very funny.
That's probably part of it is that my family's so competitive. That he became a scab picker to get through life.
And the sister, how do you get along with the younger sister?
One sister was here 2 weeks ago, and we spent a bunch of time together, so along with her great.
Mm-hmm.
And the youngest, get along with her great as well, just don't see her as often.
Okay, that's good. So that's good news.
So, no, we all get along great.
My mom was one of eight, and they're all so close. I mean, the ones that are still alive— we're getting together on Monday to have lunch, all of us, the cousins and all the siblings. So it couldn't be any further from this truth for estrangement. However,
how many people will be at this conclave?
Like probably 26, 27, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where are you going to do lunch?
Someplace in Gainesville. We got a reservation at a place. I don't know where it is. Wow. But I mean, well, because my Uncle Billy, who just turned 82, is coming in from Warrenton. So we wanted to find something that was sort of central.
Okay.
But my father was one of five, and four of them got along great. But
you have an Uncle Billy in your family?
Yeah, William Guy Stalker.
I hope he remembers to get there with the strings around his finger. Hello, George. The good news is people are more likely than not to say they'd be willing to reconcile with an estranged sibling. 45% say they would. 29% said no way. Oh, that's unhappy people that are.
No, that's the estranged one.
Yeah, the strange one. Nah, I don't want to get together with anybody.
Not always.
If you are a pickle aficionado.
I love them.
Who can spend hours perusing every jar at the grocery store, we have some sexy news for you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Pamela Anderson is now selling her own artisanal pickles for $38 a jar. Pamela's pickles are available online at flamingoestate.com. That's
are they called Pamela's pickles?
Well, I'm sure that's what they are. That's what it says here. Mm. For a limited time, there are only a few hundred jars available. So if you want one, act fast. The recipe was inspired by one that was passed down to her by her great aunt. No, I'm not doing it.
No,
this thing is just set up for people to be incorrect.
Okay,
but I would say I think she's made it pretty obviously. She knows, she knows a bit about pickles. Her great aunt
Vi. I'm glad you're the PC one.
Yes.
Yeah.
It features rose, dill, mustard, and garlic. They're hot and they are vegan, which is exciting.
Well, most pickles are.
Yes, like Pamela, and 100% of the proceeds, will benefit the California Wildlife Center.
If you eat one, can you be really funny and sing scat like her?
Does she sing scat?
Oh, it's one of the best parts of Naked Gun.
Oh, I didn't make it to that.
Pamela says, it's a shame.
My sons and I are so proud to share our mutual love of condiments, especially pickles, with you. So,
pickle not a condiment?
Yeah,
pickle's a condiment.
It's a condiment.
You know what? I would say a sliced pickle is, but if this is a spear, no.
Oh, my God. All right.
Don't let it bother you, Mike. Don't let it bother you.
I'm just going to write ramped up down as the show title
Jesus
for today.
Christ. In a new interview, Jennifer Aniston refers to the era of her life called the tabloid life. And, you know, if you want to know what that was, think Angelina and Brad, that whole thing, the love triangle. She adds, it was such juicy reading for people. If they didn't have their soap operas, they had their tabloids. Now, she doesn't elaborate on that difficult time other than to say, it's a shame. This is her quote. It's a shame that it had to happen, but it happened. And boy, did I take it personally. We're human beings, even though some people don't want to believe we are. I always think that we tend to have a blind spot in our society for people that are in the public eye, where because they have achieved fame and because they have achieved fortune, that they can handle that. And I think they are human beings. And I think probably they'd be lying if they said they didn't occasionally look at this kind of stuff. She goes on to say, they think you signed up for it, so you take it. But we really don't sign up for that. No, they don't.
They don't.
I've always thought that way.
No. But the billions help it sleep better.
I will tell you this, that even in at my clown level of celebrity down the furthest rung of the ladder, I have to admit, in the past, I've been pretty blown away by things that are written about the venom that people have, that, you know, the amount of hate that's out there. It's a powerful emotion and pretty crazy when you see that. Let me see. Jennifer said she got through it by being resilient. Quote, just pick yourself up by the bootstraps and keep on walking, girl. There were two other, you know, it's one thing to have betrayal. It's another thing to have betrayal in the public eye. And it's a third thing to have betrayal by two dreamy movie stars at the same time. But you might say, well, she married the movie star. Yeah, I get it. It doesn't take away the pain.
But I understand her saying she didn't sign up for being a megastar. But if you marry Brad Pitt, who is already the biggest star in Hollywood, you did sign up for it. I'm sorry. That's part of it.
And part of that tabloid life is why they make the money.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think that the Brad Pitt marriage is based on, I'm marrying him because he's a movie star.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that she should have been aware what was
that. He's a movie star. They travel in the same circles. They fall in love and blah, blah, blah. And it goes on and on and on. Right. You know, I mean, it's just, does it come with the territory? Yeah. Does that mean the territory is fair? No, it doesn't. That's my philosophy on it.
Okay, question. We all agree that Jennifer Aniston is a great performer. We loved her, of course, in Friends. And the morning show, she was wonderful.
Yeah,
she's beautiful. No one can doubt that. Mm-hmm. Do you think if you were to meet her in real life, you
like
would
at
be
a school drop off?
Yeah, would you like her? Would you be a friend with her?
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what she's like in real life. She seems to travel in the celebrity circles with her friends. I don't think I would like her on screen if I didn't think I could like her in person. That's kind of what it's all
about. I think you see a little bit of the real her in that statement where she says you have to be resilient and pull yourself up by the bootstraps, which is basically saying I'm better than all this. So I think there's a little cockiness there. I don't like that.
You don't like pretty girls.
Oh, I do. I'm married.
No, no, you don't like them. You don't like their personalities because you probably in theater arts were, you know, dealt with a little of that attitude from the pretty girls. Did you not?
Let me put it to you this way, Mike. In our theater department, the prettiest girl was me.
Thank you. There were two other notable things in the interview. See, that's why you take it, Josh, because then he'll lay one on that like that. Jennifer,
by the way, he has a name. His name is Rob. Okay,
thank you.
You don't need to talk behind my back.
Other things in the interview, Jennifer said she's glad that Matthew Perry is out of that pain after the long struggle with addiction. She said, we did everything we could when we could, but it almost felt like we'd been mourning Matthew for a long time because his battle with that disease was a really hard one for him to fight. As hard as it was for all of us and for the fans, there's part of me that thinks this is better. Yeah, I think
I can see that.
You have to look at that. So that's it. I don't know what the other part is, but that was it. She talked about Matthew Perry and good for Jennifer. A 51-year-old man in Tennessee, name of DeCarlo Pitchford. This is our final story today.
Okay.
Shot his wife last month.
Did Jack Kent Cooke ever say his name?
DeCarlo Pitchford. shot his wife last month. There aren't a lot of details on what was happening, but I thought it'd be good for a three-line kicker today.
Sure.
The wife told police he was blocking her from leaving the house. When she tried to get past him, DiCarlo shot her in the abdomen and said, "I told you to stop playing with me." She needed medical attention, so he drove her to the hospital, but he took his time and even stopped for beer on the way. He was charged with second-degree attempted murder, domestic assault, and felon in possession of a firearm. There is no word on the wife's condition after being shot in the abdomen, but she's been cooperating with police, so she survived the attack at least. I don't know if she can stomach another year with that guy. She had a gut feeling that he was wrong for her. If she does reconcile with him, she'll be right back in the belly of the beast. There we go. That's Yay! It. That's a gut shot joke. I don't know why I did it, but I did, and it's there, and you'll have to deal with it. Thank you. I appreciate that. More show coming up, but first let me tell you about Legacy Box. Do you have any delightful memories? Yeah, I got a couple. Sure you do. You want to relive those good old days, but are they trapped on VHS tapes or film reels and you just aren't sure where to start? Mm. Most of Rob's memories are saved on ViewMaster discs. Just picture after picture after picture.
3D, yeah.
Yes. That's a stupid way to save them, Rob. Oh, I've never told you that, but I'll tell you now. That's not the way to save memories. Luckily, we have the perfect solution, Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the simple and safe solution for digitizing all your family's precious memories. Plus, when you go to legacybox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 50% off when you get started with Legacy Box today. Right now, when you purchase a Legacy Box, you get 90 days free access to Legacy Box Cloud. That's the easiest way to stream, share, and download your memories. It's like Netflix, but for your home movies. You can stream your vids or pics anywhere, download, organize, save them, and store them securely. The Legacy Box Cloud brings your peace of mind, brings you peace of mind. And now you can't even lose your photos if you try. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 50% for a limited time only. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. That's legacybox.com/TMOS. And remember, measure twice, cut once.
That's right.
What did they say that about? What's that in reference to? Carpentry. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Jesus was a carpenter.
I don't know. Yes, fine. Why don't we let him? Josh, why don't we do this?
No, no, no. Don't do anything.
Why don't we let him tell his disgusting story? Even though Rob really grosses me out.
Oh, you're truly going to hate this.
Everybody knows that listens to this show regularly, that I love Rob, I hate Rob, and Rob and I have, for some odd reason, been together for multiple decades.
Yeah.
But one thing that people might not know is there is no one that grosses me out more.
I don't know why that is, because you definitely have known grosser people.
Because there's a line, and you cross it every time.
All right, so I'm getting ready to steel myself for whatever this story is, but I'll kick it over to you because I think you have a lot of pent-up energy that you need to release. So lay it on us, Rob Speedway.
Okay. So Carrie, because she's very lucky with her automobile, got a cracked windshield 2 weeks ago. Just a random piece of like rock, you know, jumped up, cracked the windshield pretty good. And I needed to get it replaced. I do too, because you know what? It's never your fault. Mm-hmm. It's just a pain in the ass. So. Yep. I got an appointment at our dealership, and I looked, and it's covered. I bought glass coverage, so all I have to do is go in, and they'll replace it.
That's
like
awesome.
a $1,500 thing. I don't even have to get insurance involved.
Very cool.
So that basically paid for the glass coverage. So I'm waiting there. Now, it's not a fast process. So I was in the waiting room for probably – I got there at 9, and I stayed till almost 1 because they had to do that, and it has to dry and set, and then they also had to replace another light. So I – that thinking ahead, I'm going to bring my earbuds so I can listen to things.
What, like a headlight or something?
No. When I moved the sofa with Robert, I cracked the dome light in the back of the tailgate.
That's probably what took the majority of the time to do that, because the windshield, they can do it in your driveway. Pop it right in there.
But I think there's a time that it has to like set before you're allowed to drive with it. Because they put big pieces of tape on it. They said
no. It's the fact that you went to a dealership, so everything's longer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah. In any case, it was free, so I'll give them the
one.
Hours.
What's the big one? The
Safe
national
Light.
One.
Safe Light Repair. Mm-hmm. Safe Light Replace.
Yeah, they pop it in your driveway, but that's fine. So you're sitting at the dealership.
Yeah, and I brought my earbuds along. Most people have the white ones, you know, the Apple ones. I bought Sony's because they were cheaper.
What color are they?
Black as night. Okay. And I got them, and I'm listening. And when you plug them in and you connect to your
what do you plug them into?
Your ear.
No, on the other end.
You don't. You plug them into your ear.
Your okay. ear.
All right.
Yeah, you plug them in your ear.
All right.
What do you call something you put in your ear? An earplug. So you plug it in your ear.
Yeah, and when you plug it in your ear. What's that carpentry expression you had again? What is it?
Measure twice, cut once.
Nodak on the chat group said, I thought that was about circumcision. Funny. Thank you. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry about that.
And I put them in. I plug them in my ears. And the first thing I hear is on my left side, Bluetooth connected. I said, oh, great. And then on the right side, I hear almost nothing. I can barely hear the lady say Bluetooth connected. I said, oh, okay. Man, my Bluetooth, I bought cheap and they're not working. So I reset the Bluetooth.
I know what this is. I already know where this is going to end.
And I reset the phone. I do a hard reset. Oh, and God, the same
so
thing. The left one's fine, but the right one's really muffled. So
I take it out.
No. I'm so, yeah, right? Did yeah, you get it now? No. Yeah.
Yes. I know take what it's it out. And there's like a rubber fitting on it that goes over the earbud so it, you know, it stays in your ear. And I sort of roll that off. I peel it back.
You got any pictures to go along with this?
Don't need pictures. And so now the rubber thing is sort of inside out. And I look through it and it seems to be blocked. There's something in it. And that's what's stopping the volume. So I don't have like a pen or anything. So I just blow through it like this. And like a pea shooter, a hunk of earwax shoots out. And Mike, here's what you're going to love. It lands on, I'm wearing cargo shorts, of course. And this thing about the size of half of a Tic Tac lands on my knee, my left knee. And I'm looking at this. Now, I'm startled and I go, this is the time that all 12 people that are in the waiting room look up from their phones and look at me. So I don't want to like do anything abrupt to make them think that I have a hunk of earwax on my pants. So I'm near the water cooler. So I think if I stand up, maybe it'll fall off. And I stand and I look down and the half a Tic Tac size piece of earwax is still stuck to my pants. Oh, God. And I kind of brush it off. Because, okay. I mean, no. I have no
Please
option
finish.
At this point.
Please just, finish. We're running
you
short
have
on
option.
Time.
Just go straight to the bathroom and deal with it.
Well, yeah, no, I didn't.
He won't. He can't do that. He's too gross to
well,
do that.
You didn't here's the thing. Is
How many one, people were in the room
I'm
that
saying,
looked at you as you blew through your ear?
I think about a dozen. But they looked at me after I blew.
Yeah, because you
because I blew earwax out. But here's okay. the here's the great thing is as Please, I'm, you know, it's not going to fall off. So I'm brushing my thigh, right? There's some old ugly lady in there that brought her dog. And the dog thinks I'm calling it by patting my thigh. So the dog comes over to me, and the lady says, I forget the dog's name. Let's just
Biscuit.
Say it's, okay. She says, no Biscuit, not him. The
go.
End.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank God that's over. That's wonderful. I appreciate
and
that.
And I don't know what I Q-tip every day.
That really makes me, I mean, it really makes me feel almost nauseated when I hear that.
But aren't you glad it had a happy ending?
It was a very well-told story. I'll give you credit.
Does anyone else use your Bluetooth?
No, no. Oh, no, one person, a candle does.
Hey, more show coming up. Caffeine junkies.
Oh, I'm playing the wrong music, Mike.
Charlie's Choice Coffee.
You got to play the Charlie music.
I'm sorry, Charlie's Choice people. I'm sorry to the Peacock
We're
Brewing.
The Charlie's Choice people.
Please, thank you. I know, but perfect timing. Charlie's Choice Coffee is still awesome.
No Biscuit, not him.
Oh. You can reorder or subscribe for some. Right now, don't just drink coffee. Drink wax.
By the way, they did fix it. They work great now.
I'm glad to hear it. Okay. You can reorder or subscribe for some right now. Don't just drink coffee. Experience it. I had it this morning. Two big cups of coffee. Mm. Fantastic. You got to have your coffee. So we want to give you the best. Charlie's Choice is available in whole bean. That's what I get. Ground my beans. Did a deep clean on my coffee maker last night. Had the most delicious Charlie's Choice this morning. You can get it fresh ground as well. Get a one-time order or save money with a subscription. Did you know that Charlie's Choice is the coffee with a taste for food?
It's true.
It is. Try pairing it with a scone, a bear claw, a fritter. Or some of your favorite old-fashioned all-butter pound cake.
Delicious.
Charlie.
Commercials were written yesterday.
Yes, within the same 24-hour period. Charlie likes his coffee with sauerkraut and A1 sauce. Support small business. And enjoy a cup of Charlie today. But unlike Charlie, make sure you let it cool. Cool before you drink it. But no worries, he heals quick like a bunny. Get yours at the TMOS store at MikeOMaraShow.com. Start your day right with Charlie's Choice because it's good to the last sip. Charlie?
Oh, sorry.
It's good to the last sip.
Hot steaming Charlie. Because yum. When Charlie says duh, it has got to be good.
I hate when people don't use all butter in their pound cake.
Ladies, you can thank me later. I have a TV reco from a show that I'm not going to linger any longer with, but I know, and I've seen it even on TV talk shows, that Jason Momoa, the ladies seem to really dig Jason Momoa. Don't you agree?
Sure. Tall, thin, clean cut. I'm kidding. They love his rough look.
He's got a rugged look and
demeanor.
Is he Samoan?
I think he's Samoan.
No, he's Momoan.
Oh, God.
I don't think it's me. I think it might be you guys.
Jason Momoa, for those ladies that are out there, it just got tedious for me with the subtitles as they're speaking the native Hawaiian dialect or language. I don't know whether it's authentic or not, but they're using that, and it just went on and on and on. However, ladies,
it's got to be authentic.
I think it probably would be authentic. I did not realize. Here's a historical reference. They say this is based on a true story, and it's a miniseries, so you can enjoy it for multiple episodes. I did not know that the islands of Oahu, Kauai, the Big Island of Hawaii, I didn't know that they were all tribal and that there were warring factions on the different islands and the Hawaiian Islands. I didn't know that. So that's something that it brings to the table. And then it seems like they went out of their way to generate an authentic vibe about this, and that's good too. But, you know, I think maybe the short attention span theater that we all have in our brains now prevents me from lingering. But ladies, if you want to get a good look at Jason Momoa's ass, this is the show for you. I am telling you, you will not be disappointed. From the get-go.
Chief of War.
Chief of War.
Not the Michael Harris show.
Yeah, Chief of War. When he wrestles, right from the beginning where he wrestles a shark, man, oh, man, you won't be disappointed.
How would you feel?
It's a lot of his butt crack.
You're a complicated guy. How would you feel if Jason Momoa came to your lanai without pants?
I'd say, Carla, somebody's here for you. It was, it's something that, for me, would I go back and look at it? Yeah, it's kind of a ancient historical wartime piece, and I might linger. I was kind of distracted last night, so I didn't stay with it, but King of War, Jason Momoa, that's his latest vehicle, and I'm glad he's doing something that isn't animated or goofy, you know? Yeah. I'm glad that he's doing that.
Are you more likely to check in on a Netflix or any of those streamers? Are you more likely to check
Apple.
In?
I think this is an Apple TV.
Are you more likely to check in on a series or a movie?
I prefer the best thing, the gift for Carl and I is when you've got a series, a mini series that's something that we really look forward to, and then we can kind of we make a point not to binge, and we go like 3 or 4 nights where we get together and watch that.
But if you invest, like, let's say it's 8 hours, let's say you got 8 hours of Momoa, okay,
right,
and you watch the first 2 hours and you say this sucks,
yeah,
but you've already invested 2 hours,
never. Never,
you
never.
You see, I have that feeling. I don't want to miss out. That's why I like a movie.
You would go, the continue watching that we get on all of our streaming services. You would get more content on my streaming continue to watch because I bail
give
all the
up.
Time.
Yeah.
I constantly do that. I wish I could stick with it more. I think a novel, reading something, lends itself more to getting absorbed in it than television. So that's the reason for that. So.
I tend to look for movies because at worst I'm out 2 hours and I've got the whole thing done.
I get it.
But but the series are tough to jump in if I'm not enthusiastic about it.
Another reco for you, and this is nothing to do with movies. This has everything to do with our big box store that we talk about ad nauseum on this show, and that is the Cost Company.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cost Company, my son really had to twist my arm yesterday when I was in there getting my protein bars, and he said, "Dad, can we get this?" And we got it. I didn't know that by the end of the evening, I would say I loved it. You've seen these before because they've been there for a long time. Have you seen the sorbets that they have at Costco that are like put in the half of grapefruit or the half coconut?
They've been in this home.
I had the grapefruit berry flavored sorbet, and it might be the best sorbet I've ever had in my life.
I'm out of my mind.
Phenomenal.
I've never seen this.
It's
like a coconut shell they cut in half and fill it with sorbet.
Is it a real coconut?
It's a real coconut,
yeah.
And they fill it with coconut sorbet, which I haven't had yet. I've had the there's pomegranate, which I hate that flavor of pomegranate. I always think that's a fake flavor.
It's a sour flavor.
But these are super sweet, and that's I don't know the brand name, but if you go into your Cost Company in the frozen section and you see those half coconuts on the box, they are yummy, yummy.
I googled it. The brand, Mike, is Craftsman. Craftsman makes the coconuts.
The brand is Island Way.
Island Way.
I like mine better.
Island Way. It is. Josh, are you a regular consumer of those in the Soroka household?
I am not. I know we've gotten them a few times, and the kids have enjoyed them.
They are.
But I have not. I've only had them occasionally.
And a taste test tomorrow. Mrs. O'Mara was unsuccessful.
Damn it.
At finding the, is it the Selena?
Selena Gomez Oreo cookies.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's not get off. That's what they look like, Rob.
Okay.
There they are.
And, they recently built our freezer section, so we have a smaller selection, so I'll check and see if we have those.
You mean at your Costco?
Yeah, it's tragic.
How do you know that?
Because there was a sign.
Oh, okay. there you go. I thought you might just know it.
Yeah, that's they called me.
Okay. No, I mean, Rob has his Selena Gomez Oreos. Do you have yours, Josh?
I do not.
Okay.
I will try today.
They weren't at the Publix down here, so I'm not sure where we're going to. We're going to probably go to the Mart of Wall today to see if we've got them.
That's where I'll go
to. Yeah. We'll both go there.
I secured mine at Target. If a Target is handy.
Okay. Well, yeah, we've got
a super Target because it's
where I live.
Of course.
Every 10 seconds, you got a Target down here.
Target.
So that's it. We got more show coming. Do you have some beautiful video for us? I know we've given you short segments, but you've been such a good boy today that I decided to give you something a little longer.
Mike, dogs on video today.
Oh, I love it already. That's exciting.
Yeah.
We've got that coming up. Are you looking to lose weight, people? Are you looking to feel your best? Who isn't? But it's not an easy task until now. DermGlow Skin partners with a top telehealth company to bring you proven weight loss solutions and a full range of peptides for total body wellness. Their weight loss options include GLP-1 injections, GLP-1/GIP injections, and the brand new option of once weekly oral drops, GLP-1 and GLP-1/GIP. Those of you that are in the health know, you'll know what I'm talking about. That means no needles, but the same amazing results, whether you want to tighten and firm your skin, burn fat, build muscle, improve gut health, reduce inflammation, or practically anything else, DermGlow has a peptide for it. Reach out to Carla anytime and see how she can help you. Plus, helping you look and feel your best is her passion. She's on the phone with people every single night involved, deep into this, and she is so passionate about what she does. She literally came out of the bedroom last week and said, I love what I do. And I said, thank you. May I have another? Plus, there's a special offer right now. GLP-1/GIP is $70 off, so it's the perfect time to start. Ready to change your body and your mindset? Let's go to DermGlowSkin.com. And underneath the mark that I had gotten down to 245.
Yeah.
And then was floating for a very long time on my meds. And I'm here to say that I crossed that barrier today. And I'm very excited to be losing weight again.
Great.
Thanks to Tirzepatide. That's my my choice drug for that. And it's wonderful. Hit the music, Slim.
Yes, please.
Here we go.
Hey, beautiful video. That. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Old friends.
Charlie and Harrigan.
And Mike, because I owe it to you, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I owed that to you today.
Charlie Brown, Irv Harrigan, there they are.
Has no one fought that? I know we normally do video. I have two quick audio clips. One, Mike, do you have your ordinance ready?
I do.
I'm curious. Oh, good, 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 good.
Sorry, because, I was taking a little drink. Thank
that's
you.
That's fine. Yes. No, I just wanted to make sure.
All right.
You know, after 40 years, they're shutting down AOL dial-up internet access. It's gone. Okay. I mean, you remember you couldn't go 10 feet without seeing those CDs back in the day. Yeah. Oh, and you know the sound, but Mike, there's a song to help you remember it. Here's the sound. Hold on.
Buster AOL.
Sorry, here's the sound. There it is.
So pleasant.
Grandma lost her AOL connection.
I thought it would take about that long.
Dumbass.
What that is Mike hates a parody record, and he hates the song that it's parodying in the beginning.
Yeah,
so it's a double
parodying
strike.
Parodying a parody record.
Yeah, no good. No good.
And it's
so, such
one.
Creativity. Jesus yeah. Christ.
All right, this is one more piece of audio before we get to the video. This I found fascinating.
Okay.
There was an article about how many takes different songs took to capture in the recording studio. The only one that I was really familiar with is I think Elvis did like 38 takes of Hound Dog and ended up releasing the 37th.
Really?
Because he really wanted to get the song right. But okay. If you listen to how hard he's singing, and that's amazing, he did that many takes.
I agree.
But when the Tom Petty was doing his album Damn the Torpedoes in 1979, he really wanted to get the song Refugee right. And they did over 100 takes. Yeah, good song.
We worked so hard.
Refugee, we must have done 150 takes. We wanted a live performance, all the band playing at the same time.
It was just getting that one special performance that really did the song justice.
Up until about 5 years ago, if I heard it on the radio, I would still call them and say, this thing sounds amazing on the radio, doesn't it? And you'd get annoyed.
The thing that blows my mind about it is that is really just a live recording. There's
a
no
live recording, and I didn't know they did it that way. And, you know, you got a mad respect for,
absolutely,
for getting 100%. It just right and really giving an S about the product. I think that makes the late Tom Petty sound really dedicated, and I like that. I
it's
really
amazing
do.
To think that was 1979. It was that long ago.
I can't believe that. I always thought that was whenever I hear that was a 70s record,
yeah,
it surprises me. But, you know, he was around a long time. A
great, great musician. All right, dogs, Mike. Congratulations to Petunia. Do you know what Petunia did?
Ate some wax off your knee?
Mike, come now. That was Biscuit. Petunia won the world's ugliest dog.
All right, check this out. This morning, California has crowned the winner of the 2025 Ugliest Dog Competition.
That's not bad.
Say hello
no,
to Petunia.
No, this is a good-looking
now,
dog.
Although she won the title of ugliest, Tracy and I both agree. You can see.
By the way, the prize winner is on the left there.
That's no. Hold on. That's not an ugly.
You're right.
That's not
you're
even
right.
close to being an ugly dog.
Up there. The annual event raises awareness for animal rescue and adoption, particularly for pups that may look a little quirky.
Oh, that guy.
Well, last year's
winner
was
that's an ugly dog.
That is a look at the tongue.
You can see that he
can't
seem to keep his tongue to himself. It's just hanging out there. Both winners took home $5,000 in prize money.
Mike, she's no longer smoking.
Wow. But
this is my favorite dog story of the day.
Okay.
Because there's great video footage of it. I think we're all scared of bears. Bears tend to rear their head on this show a bit,
In
this segment.
I would be freaked beyond freaked to
have
come
you ever
in contact,
seen one
close contact with a bear
like
from
in
a
nature?
Distance. From a distance, yeah.
I drove by one. There's one in my neighborhood that was just like on the median, and it was enough to flip me out that there was a bear in my neighborhood. Anyway,
I used to walk by one every day at the radio station.
Hey, baby.
So, Josh, we had an engineer named Bear.
I'm familiar.
Okay. Good.
But if a bear were to get in your house, what do? You rely on your 6-pound dog.
I just wanted a little couch potato, fluffy.
It's a Pomeranian
dog.
We're hanging out in West Van with Scout.
What's
two and a half year old Pomeranian?
Is there spudge on that dog's beard? Can you start it from the beginning?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think you blew your wax piece on that dog's fur.
Oh, yeah, there is something there.
Two-and-a-half-year-old
Pomeranian. There it is.
He's all of 6 pounds.
About the size of it.
Including the fluff. But don't be fooled by the adorableness. Under this tawny coat is the soul of a savage defender.
I was surprised, but also he's scary when he's mad.
Kayla Klein, her husband, lives next to this lush green space. Where the only issue seems to be these visitations. The North Shore's curious and frequently brazen black bears.
So the bear bakes down a fence.
But this Monday was a surprise.
It was around noon and I was in the washroom getting ready.
So he's in
the
house.
Had the door open because of the heat, went in, waltzed this guy, sniffed around the TV a bit, and then headed for the kitchen. At this point, Scout was roused and decided, not on my watch.
He came sprinting around the corner, and I just saw the bear running out of our kitchen, and he chased it out of the house.
But Scout wasn't done yet.
Look at this.
Out of the house is one thing.
Scout.
He wanted that bear off the property.
That's awesome.
In the face of
look at him go.
That's
fearless.
Awesome. It's so sad the bear ate him.
That is.
He didn't.
So cool.
He did not. He did not die.
Wow. Don't we all wish that our small dogs would do something like that? That's pretty
I'd
cool.
I'd love it. I'd love it.
That. That's
now, have
neat.
You ever closed like a piece of paper in your laptop when you fold it closed?
Sure. I'm sure I've done that.
Yeah. I do it. I've done it, especially if it's something you want to save and be safe. Of course, you're going to protect your laptop. This lady had a bad occurrence.
To learn from my mistakes. I just opened up my laptop to the biggest jump scare of the century. I'm so confused because I just brought it outside and put it on my bed. When I put it on my bed, it was cracked. I'm so confused. I'm like looking it up. So I had this card placed
Stop
inside
it.
My laptop with the screen
closed. A greeting card she closed in there.
And apparently the pressure from this piece of paper internally cracked my screen.
How about that? Don't do that anymore.
Tomorrow I will tell you about another one of my little trips to that was another panic for school. The Bar of Genii that I attended yesterday. I went for a little busy day. Busy school day before school day yesterday.
It's very fun when you get to go to the Genius Bar.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, though. They have so many employees at the Apple Store that, all shapes and sizes.
Are they all geniuses? Yeah.
I don't know if they're all geniuses, but they're, fit, not fit, tall, short, thin.
Not thin.
Fat.
Mike, there is a... He plays for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Okay.
His name is Tyrese Maxey. He's a dog owner, and he's also he's an NBA All-Star. He's a big deal.
Yep.
But he went to, I believe it was Instagram Live yesterday, because his dogs were hungry, and he doesn't know how to use a can opener.
Normally, Chef helps me use the can opener for my dogs. tell me what I need to do. Somebody on here, help me out. Show me how to work this thing.
No clue. He has no clue how to use it. He says it's a 23-minute video, Mike.
The privileged athlete. How much smoke do you think has been blown up his butt for his entire career?
Well, huh? It's really sad because what he's opening is a can of pumpkin, which means his dog has digestive issues. So help that dog. Help that dog. All right, let's close with this. And, Mike, you're great with a can opener. I applaud you.
Yeah. I finally gave up on that. Josh and I were talking about it. You know that crap one? I threw it away. It's that horrible.
Which one?
The electric one that you stick on the top of it.
You stick on the top and it goes outside of the can. Absolute garbage. No.
You just
threw it
out,
bought one like that guy.
That guy has a good one if you know how to use it.
Absolutely. Easy. And easy when the power goes out.
Because that's when you eat most of your canned food, isn't it?
In my shelter.
Yes. More hash, honey.
Right.
We talked about him yesterday, and this happened on my Instagram feed, so I wanted to share it. We talked about Pete from Saturday Night Live and his character, Pete Davidson and his character, Chad, right? And that is really the only character he did.
Okay.
What I didn't know is the character was written to make fun of the way Pete was in real life.
I bet. Yeah.
It's my one character that I got to do in 8 years of SNL. I had one character. But it's not a very flattering character, you know? And Lorraine, everyone was so excited to see Lorraine, and then I just had my shirt off, and I'm like, hey.
You're talking about with Lorraine Newman.
Very sweet, and I was very happy. Mikey and Streeter write that with you?
Yeah, so that was I don't know if you know the origin of Chad, but it was a joke on me. Like, they wrote it because that's how, if anybody ever gave me notes on set,
yeah.
Like, they'd be like, hey, in this one, you have to go over there, and you just, I'd be like, okay, cool. So, and then they brought it to the table, and I was like, brilliant. I don't get this. Like, what the hell? What is this? And I said the first okay, and everyone was like, ah! I was like, oh, I guess I really talk like that.
It was great, and it was very sweet. I think what you guys did, the moment you allowed Lorraine to have was also really special and cool.
Oh, she's a legend,
She's a legend.
Also,
it was
so cool to be around her.
I just love
that
the fact
so
that
cool.
He didn't
that
even realize it when it was brought to him.
They're making fun of him, which makes it even better. Hey, we got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. Thank you for participating, and thank you for getting all our good stuff at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Check it out. New stuff happening all the time on that website. MikeO'MaraShow.com. Check out our store. We have lots of stuff, and who knows when the next fire sale will happen, like
anytime.
We did with the mugs.
Could happen anytime.
My lonely shelf. Got to figure out something else to put on that shelf, Josh. We got to get some new stuff, new swag coming out. But that's not for today. That's for another day.
How about a statue, Mike? Like a statue of Lucille Ball.
I'm going to go get a nap. And thank you all for joining us. For Josh LaRocca and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Aloha.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Sunflower seeds!